All right, let's jump on in. So this past weekend, I was down at Fort Benning. I'll be honest with you, having spent a lot of time there over the years, I mean, man, I can tell you right now, came and went. It was airborne school, then it was the infantry officer course, and then it was jump master school, and then it was ranger school, and then it was pathfinder school, and then it was my battalion commander pre-command course, and, you know, being inducted into the Order of St. Maurice as an infantry officer, and it's all the, anyway, I listen, Fort Benning is a special place in my heart and mind, and when they named it Fort Moore, here's the thing. Liberals didn't know what they were messing with. Now, I talked to a young officer just recently who didn't really see the big deal. He's like, everybody loves Hal Moore. Well, yeah, I love Hal Moore. Lieutenant General Hal Moore was a legend. The Battle of the Iodrang Valley, we were soldiers once and young. That listen, between Hal Moore and Command Sergeant Major Plumley, those two guys are legend in the infantry, and they should be. And I do not mind that they chose to honor Lieutenant General Hal Moore. It's the way they did it. It's the purge they went through, of taking something which no one thought was racist, declaring it racist, and then changing it simply because they needed to show the virtue signal of changing something as vaunted as a military post. And by the way, a military post where warfighters have been trained for over a century. Now, having said all that, this past weekend I drove down. They had an amazing, by the way, if you've never been to Fort Benning, there's, of course, there's parts of it that are old and dated, and I get that, but there are, this is, like, when you think of a military installation, this is that, all right? You don't think of some of the other smaller posts. You don't think of some of the kind of, you know, training sites where you go, and it's not that great. People didn't want to go there, but they have to. Fort Benning is the place that has the giant airborne towers in the middle of it. You have ranger tabs on buildings. You have streets named after, you know, major battles like Marne and all these other major battles or campaigns throughout history. You have fields like the Field of Four Chaplains. You have the Doughboy Stadium right smack in the middle. All these things are just like kind of on an epic scale. And you know, too, when you go to Fort Benning, who all's been there. I mean, we're talking about people like, over time, George Patton, Dwight Eisenhower, Creighton Abrams. You can think of, you know, any number of major generals who have been iconic and have changed history have all been through Fort Benning, have lived there, have trained there. George Patton was stationed there back in the, 30s, I believe it was. So to go back this past week and for the first time be able to drive through the gate and see that it says Fort Benning, Georgia on the gate, it just did me right. Did me right. I believe they should absolutely go ahead and now honor Lieutenant General Hal Moore's memory by dedicating something major on the installation to him. They should. Like, for instance, the Maneuver Center. I don't know if they already have the. So if you're not familiar, the Maneuver Center, it's called the MCO, the Maneuver Center of Excellence. Way back in the day when I was a young officer, we got trained at that same building, and it was a little dingy, and it was called Building 4. That's all they called it. Building 4. Where'd you get? You go to the schoolhouse? Yeah, man, Building 4. Now it's called the MCO, the Maneuver Center of Excellence, and all of the infantry and armor officers in the entire United States Army go through there. What a great, since Hal Moore was an infantry officer who was part of 1st Cav, the cavalry division, you can fit infantry and armor in a sense underneath him. I say go ahead and name the MCO the Lieutenant General Hal Moore Maneuver Center of Excellence. Just do it. Can I have some applause, please? I think that's worthy. All you out there, all you green suitors, all you folks who are veterans, especially those of y'all that are 1st Cav. I was 1st Cav in Baghdad. So I say go for it. Now, having said all that, there's a lot of change happening. It's not just like changing the names back. It's also like removing leadership and putting leadership in place. Did you see, by the way, JP, the colonel at in Greenland who was relieved?
I did not.
You did not?
Mm-mm.
Okay, pray tell, where were you? I don't know how you missed the story. Well, I know, it was Masters weekend.
That's a good point.
So actually it happened, I think, late last week.
I may have seen it, but remind me.
A colonel who was in charge of, we have a very small installation there. It's called a space base mostly. And it's like a listening post / radar station, forward listening in Greenland. Vice President J.D. Vance went to Greenland, 4 or 5 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently soon after he left, the colonel who's in charge of the Patufik space base is what it's named. She felt it necessary to send out an email to her subordinates taking issue with what the vice president had said about Greenland when he was there and Denmark, and claiming that he does not speak for us.
Yes, I think you brought that up last week, yes.
She lost her job.
Yeah, rightfully so.
Rightfully so. Somewhere down the line, senior officers began to believe they could say whatever they wanted to say and expect no repercussions. Apparently, it's say what you want to say as long as it's woke and there's no repercussions. Gone are the days. You may recall, and now I'm going off the top of my head. I've forgotten his name. I'll think of it in a minute. The Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel, who was apparently a dynamic combat leader during the time of COVID and the Afghanistan pullout, he went ahead and did a video and said, I realize I'm sacrificing my career by doing this. But I want to know where the accountability is for the Afghanistan withdrawal. Why is no one at the upper level being held accountable? And did he lose his job? Well, by God, he did. He did. He also knowingly did what he did, expecting to lose his job.
Was it Stuart Scheller?
Yes, that's him, Lieutenant Colonel Scheller. I feel like we're playing Jeopardy. What is Lieutenant Colonel Scheller? Yes. But this colonel in Greenland was surprised, and the left is now crying out, wait, you can't do that. Oh, yes, yes, they can. You know why? Because she was a chucklehead, and if she's going to be a chucklehead on green suit time, guess what? You can take the green suit off and go to the house. And she lost her job. There's another one right now going around. I don't know much about it, and I really don't want to get too far ahead of the story, because I think what's happening right now is some conservatives on social media are smelling blood, and they're going for it. But there's a female colonel in charge of a military installation at Fort McCoy, Wisconsin. She's a garrison commander. And if you're not familiar, the military will have a garrison commander, meaning the person who's in charge of the maintenance and the installation itself. And then there's the unit commanders. All right. So the garrison commander at Fort McCoy is a colonel, a female colonel. And apparently she's got a pretty woke attitude, and she said a number of things on the record that are very DEI oriented. But there's also a question about whether she's refusing to put up Trump and J.D. Vance's picture and Pete Hegseth's picture in the command photos gallery. I don't know that that's true or not yet. We're going to find out. But all I'm saying is military mindedness, we are watching a change in the way things run. An absolute change. One of those is we just got a brand new Joint Chiefs chairman the other day. We'll come back from this break. I'll tell you who it is. All you guys out there in green suit land, veterans and defense contractors, just know this. You have a new Lieutenant General Dan Kane, who President Donald Trump just called out of retirement. I'll tell you more about it here momentarily. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades in here. That's what we're doing. Bulletproof influence. That's what I like to say. All right. So I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper, military minded. So, there's a change going on. Yeah, we got some stuff happening. Yeah, the military is finding that it is back in, just like so much else, we're finding the military being given back its identity. If that makes sense. No longer is the military just a petri dish for social experimentation. That's where it's been, man. I'm telling you, it has. But we also now have a brand spanking new head general. So I went to military.com, and I feel like I have to do with military.com now what I do with things like Axios and Politico. Phil, did you go to military.com? I did. These guys are so friggin' liberal. Military.com, they should be ashamed of themselves.
The name is deceiving.
Well, yeah, I want them to say militarywokeness.com.
Yes.
So here's the article, Dateline 2 days ago. Trump's unusual pick for joint chairman approved by the Senate in overnight vote. None of that was necessary.
Yeah.
The headline could have been General Dan Kane confirmed as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. But no, they got to make it Trump's unusual pick for Joint Chiefs chairman approved by Senate in overnight vote.
As in, they tried to sneak it by. Yeah.
So unnecessary. All right. It's Lieutenant General Dan Kane. He was a 3-star. And let me read the opening paragraph verbatim. You ready? Lieutenant General Dan Kane, who President Trump plucked out of retirement to replace the black general he fired as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, has been confirmed by the Senate to become the nation's top general. My God. Could you hang your feelings more out on your sleeve?
The most passive-aggressive opening line.
No, thank you. Plucked out of retirement to replace the black general. You know what? The general who was there before, General Charles C.Q. Brown, was a general. Maybe C.Q. Brown wants to be referred to as the black general that Trump fired. But how about you let the guy go into retirement with his dignity, please? In the pre-dawn hours Friday morning, the Senate voted 60-25 to approve Kane to get a 4-star and become the next chairman of the Joint Chiefs. He, by the way, is the first chairman, this is interesting, who has never previously held a 4-star before he got the chairmanship job. Kane, during his confirmation hearings, vowed to remain apolitical and provide the president with candid military advice. And apparently his assurances were enough to gain the support of 16 Democrats. It was a bipartisan vote. Keep in mind, in the Senate, 60-25, that's an overwhelming majority. Simple majority is 51. They got 60-25. And there were 15 who weren't there to vote. All 25 no votes came from Democrats. Kane was nominated by Trump after the president fired General Charles C.Q. Brown without explanation. Here's your explanation. Everybody knows what it was. He was woke. Everybody knows it. He was on the record as having written about the idea of DEI being a necessary thing in the military. He presided over DEI. He implemented DEI. He extolled the virtues of DEI. He is no longer in his job. Why would you be surprised? General Kane, the new guy? General Kane was a fighter pilot. He was an F-16 Fighting Falcon pilot, and he held numerous assignments throughout the years. His call sign was Raisin, as in Raisin Kane.
Oh, it's that guy.
That guy.
I know that term.
Oh, that guy, Raisin Kane. Yeah, started off as an F-16 fighter pilot, had a 3-decade career. His last assignment before retiring was Associate Director for Military Affairs at the CIA. Kane got on Trump's radar in 2018 while serving as Deputy Commander of Special Operations Task Force fighting the Islamic State terrorist group, ISIS. By Trump's telling, Kane gave the president a plan to quickly defeat the group, and other military officers gave him more cautious advice. So what he's basically saying is he's a warfighter. He's a no-fooling, don't pull your punches kind of general, and that's exactly what Trump wants. And apparently, he's got no woke in his resume. So guess what? All you folks out there who work in the military environment, whether it be civilian or green suiters, you've got a brand spanking new Joint Chiefs chairman. He was brought out of retirement to earn a 4-star and to serve ably as your chairman. And I look forward to it. I can't wait to see what he's going to do.
Did Mark Milley get a new job as publisher at the military.com? That sounds like something he would write.
Give yourself some laughter for that, man. You deserve your own sound effect. That was well played. Well played, sir. Well played. All right, we get back from this break here in a minute. We're going to talk more about things that are happening militarily because it's important to take note of some things like, oh, I don't know, what are we saying about stopping Iran from becoming nuclear? What are China, North Korea, and Russia doing cooperating with each other? What's the Pentagon going to do about finding out where the overly politicized officers resort or reside and then getting them out of the ranks? And then did we just enter into a new military agreement with Panama? I got all this stuff. And then, oh, by the way, I got more about just even right down to testing new ballistic missiles that you push off the ramp of an AC-130 Spectre gunship. I got stuff, man. I got a stack of stuff. It's all military-minded, and some of you out there are going to want to hear it because it's just, number one, it's cool, and number two, it's going to fire you up. And then later on the show, by the way, we'll still have time for the Fool Around and Find Out segment. I'm telling you, there's some folks out there that can't read the room, and they are determined to go ahead and push back. And if we push back hard on Trump's DEI, maybe it'll be okay. No, not really. How about this? You fool around, you find out. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, hour number 3 on a Meatloaf Monday coming up. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number 3 on a Meatloaf Monday. How did we get to hour number 3 already? Blows my mind. Hour number 3 on a Meatloaf Monday, we're in Dipper number 2, Military Minded. So I'm going to pull up an audio clip here. I'm going to call for audio 1 there, JP. So Military Minded, I'm going to run the gamut of several things you might want to know that affect our U.S. military or our military capabilities or our military in terms of its policies. One of which you might want to keep track of. They are not a near peer adversary, but Iran is still very much an issue on the world stage. Daily Wire has a piece that came out yesterday. Pete Hegseth, Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, was on Maria Bartiromo's Sunday Morning Futures on Fox this weekend, discussing nuclear talks. Because if you're not aware, in the middle of everything else going on in the world, the Trump administration is actually at the table with Iran right now. Had their first meeting this past weekend. In my opinion, it's kind of flying under the radar, but this is a huge story because experts believe that Iran is extremely close to having the capability of producing nuclear weapon-grade enriched uranium. In fact, the IAEA, the story I got from Daily Wire, the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, found in February of this year that Iran was like blowing past all the levels necessary for uranium in this nuclear deal that it used to have. Iran's uranium stockpile is now enriched to around 60%. Weapons-grade uranium is roughly 90%. Iran's stockpile is also many times larger than the limits set in the deal. They have approximately 8,200 kilograms they're well underway to basically blowing past what they said they would never have more than. All right, so what I'm saying is this. Iran's real close. And that's bad news. Because Iran is such a bad actor that what they don't do themselves, they'll find proxies to do for them. People are asking, why are we bombing the Houthis? I'll tell you why. It's part of the emasculation of Iran's capabilities. Because Iran sits in the back like a puppet master and pulls strings. Those who are willing to actually pull the triggers, those who are willing to be the puppets, are oftentimes just as dangerous as the ones who fuel them to do the shooting. So is Iran the source problem? Yes, they are. It doesn't mean you can ignore the fact that Houthis exist and they've been shooting at our ships, shooting at world commerce. We're having to divert ships completely away from the Suez Canal. It's become a thing that's impacting the world commerce on an epic scale. And so, yeah, the Trump administration has been like pounding the Houthis lately. Meanwhile, Hamas and Hezbollah, the other two Iran proxies, are being pounded by Israel. I think this is also being done in part in support of Israel. Keep in mind, people forget this, but the Houthis, despite the fact that they're all the way down in Yemen, actually fired drones across neighboring airspace into Israel. Luckily, they were shot down. But the Houthis have launched at... These are not just ragtag ragamuffins, you know, look like, you know, like Black Hawk Down Somalis on the street. These are guys who have the capability of launching drone warfare against foreign nations hundreds of miles away. Trump is saying enough is enough. But Trump is also telling Iran enough is enough. Pete Hegseth was asked about Iran getting a nuke. Here's his comments on Maria Bartiromo's show Sunday morning.
We've had direct talks yesterday. They began in the past. It's been indirect talks with a mediator. But there's Steve Witkoff meeting with the foreign minister of Iran. What can he tell us?
Well, I can tell you that President Trump is dead serious on this issue. He's dead serious that Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. He's said that for 20 years. He's been consistent. That is clear. He's dead serious that he wants it done at the negotiating table. He wants it done peacefully. Yeah. And that's why he's going straight to these talks. He set that deadline. These were productive talks yesterday. I don't want to get ahead of our skis. Steve Witkoff does a fantastic job, but it was a good step, and they're going to go at it again on Saturday. But he's also dead serious that if we can't figure this out at the negotiating table, then there are other options, to include my department, to ensure that Iran never has a nuclear bomb. We hope we never get there. We really do, Maria. But what we're doing with the Houthis and what we're doing in the region, we've shown a capability to go far, to go deep, and to go big. And again, we don't want to do that. But if we have to, we will, to prevent the nuclear bomb in Iran's hands.
That's pretty earnest talk right there. By the way, when he says my department, keep in mind that's the Department of Defense, all right? Special Envoy Steve Witkoff, who we mentioned, is the guy who's leading the talks. And the idea that we're sitting down at the table right now with Iranians to dialogue over the issue of curbing their nuclear aspirations, how much of that did you see in the Biden administration? You didn't. They would send pallets of cash, but they did not do anything to really engage the process of curtailing their efforts. So White House issued a statement, said Special Envoy Witkoff underscored to Dr. Iragachi, who is the Iranian envoy, that he had instructions from President Trump to resolve our two nations' differences through dialogue and diplomacy if possible. These issues are very complicated. Special Envoy Witkoff's direct communication today was a step forward in achieving a mutually beneficial outcome. The sides agreed to meet next Saturday. Iran actually issued a statement saying they had what was termed a very respectful meeting, a constructive meeting based on mutual respect. All right, that's huge. All you military folks, just know this. That's one to keep your eyes on. Here's another one to keep your eyes on. Story from military.com. Ah, jeez, Phil, did you go to military.com? I did.
Twice in one show?
I don't know
really?
How to explain it. I don't know how to explain it. Every once in a while, you find a fact-based reporting. It's like, you know.
Blind nugget to squirrel every once in a while.
That's exactly right. military.com, Dateline Saturday. The top U.S. commander in the Pacific has now warned senators Thursday about the military support China and North Korea are giving to Russia in its war in Ukraine. So it's not just, and I find it interesting that China is. We know about North Korea sending troops. What's North Korea getting out of it, though? Think about it. North Korea does have nuclear capability. North Korea does constantly launch, you know, ballistic missiles into the, you know, Sea of Japan and that kind of thing. Even over the peninsula of Japan. Unbelievable. Can you imagine launching missiles over like Alabama? I mean, that's anyway. But Admiral Samuel Papero, head of the U.S. Indo-Pacific Command, told the Senate Armed Services Committee that China has provided 70% of the machine tools and 90% of the legacy chips to Russia to help Moscow rebuild its war machine. Significant logistical support is what we're talking about here. China is giving significant technological and logistical support to Russia. North Korea is sending, he quotes, thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of artillery shells, hundreds of short-range missiles, and the expectation is that Pyongyang, North Korea, will get air defense and surface-to-air missile support. Admiral Papero said, it's a transactional symbiosis where each state fulfills the other state's weakness to the benefits of the other states. Bottom line is this, y'all. North Korea is even sending soldiers to fight in Ukraine. So, strange bedfellows, weird axis. But right now, we're looking at a definite axis of influence right now. China and Russia and North Korea actually working together to bolster each other's defense capabilities. And where one is weak, the other tries to plus up. Just weirdness. Stand by for more of that. I got one. I'm not sure I'm going to get to all the stuff I got in my stack. But I got one I'll take before the break. This just happened. I mean, did anybody know this was happening? Apparently not. But do we care? Yeah. A memorandum of understanding was signed last week. This would be Friday. ArmyRecognition.com. Defense News. the Ministry of Public Security of the Republic of Panama and the Department of Defense of the United States of America established a framework for cooperative security activities in Panama, formalizing mutual understandings related to the presence and operations of U.S. personnel and contractors in specific Panamanian installations. Look, I have long memories of Panama being a major U.S. military presence. It just was, defending the canal. And then, of course, they had the jungle school down there. We had major. My grandfather was a post commander at Corozal, I believe it was, in Panama back in the 50s. My mom talks about growing up in part in Panama because of that. We have been out of there for the most part since, well, I mean, we had to go in and take out Noriega, but we have been out of there pretty much since we saw Jimmy Carter give away the Panama Canal. So Jimmy Carter gave it away. It took a while. It didn't happen right away. But Carter's the one who signed the documents to give away the Panama Canal. We gave back all the installations. And the reality is we have not had a presence in that part. And now, guess what? All of a sudden, we do. Why? Because China has been building influence. China's Belt and Road policies, their Belt and Road policies have been extending into Panama. They've been building infrastructure and doing all kinds of things to endear themselves to the Panamanian government. Well, the United States stepped in and said, hey, by golly, we got to change the flow here. You can't just let this happen. So the Memorandum of Understanding with the United States, it doesn't give us control or establish like a foreign military bases, but it allows us to place people on those installations unlike we've been doing in decades now. That's a huge deal. It was signed in Panama City just last week. And I don't think I can underscore enough how important it is that people recognize that what we're watching now is the Trump administration. They are at the table with Iran working on a nuclear-free Iran while they pound the Houthis in Yemen. Oh, by the way, keeping a close eye on the fact that China, North Korea, and Russia have eyes on Ukraine and are doing things actively to support each other in that regard. And then at the same time, we're looking southward and we're establishing new ground to work from in Panama. And this is an administration that has eyes out at all directions. We are not insular. We're not isolationist. We're not picking wars, but we're not shying from the fight either. It's a whole new day, you guys. A whole new day. We'll take a break. I'll come back and wrap this up. Y'all text it in or call it in if you want to. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Tell me how you feel about the military right now, especially those of y'all who work in that environment. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Let me get a few text messages before I go too much further. Badger from Athens, checking in, says, rolling off the arsenal, put the window down, and then suddenly y'all were in super stereo. Several of listening folks in line waiting to get out the gate. Roll on, Right Side, he says. Loving that. Loving that a lot. Thank you, all you ruffians who work out at Redstone. Proud to say that's been a huge part of my life, too, by the way. Stationed at Redstone out there when I was a kid. My dad was stationed there. My grandfather was stationed there. My grandfather was post commander there. Dad worked at BIMSCOM, the old Ballistic Missile Defense Systems Command. My granddad was project manager on Hawk Missile back in the day. Just cool. Anyway, thank you all you Redstones. I appreciate you. Marshall from Dubai says, there's the rest of it. He popped in. Says, thanks for doing a fantastic show. Thanks, Marshall. Appreciate you. We have clarified, by the way, with Michael in Sylacauga. Michael, we welcome you back to the fold. He was taking issue with something we were saying, and we're like, we're not saying that. And it turns out he was on a station that we used to be on that we're no longer on. So... Anyway,
we've only been off for 3 months.
He knows where to find us now.
Yes, we're all squared away.
That's right. Fritzy from Huntsville. Fritzy says, Colonel, heard about that garrison commander at Fort McCoy? I have. She's allegedly a progressive activist and refuses to hang official photos on her leadership board of POTUS and Vice POTUS and SecDef. Yeah, Fritzy, I did hear that. And here's the only thing I want to make sure of before I really spend too much time harping on her is it's one thing to take a picture of I need to know that she's put out a statement saying she won't put up their pictures. I mean, if she doesn't have the pictures up there yet, or if that, for all I know, that photo was taken right after Biden left office, they didn't have a picture of a Trump yet. It could be. But that being said, I'm aware and I'm tracking and I'll wait and see. Here's another thing, by the way. I'll get some more text messages in a minute. Y'all text them in if you want to. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. I think we're entering an era of accountability too. Some of it, though, by the way, is going to be accountability for things for which no one took accountability before. But it appears that, like, here's an example. Here's what brought me to this point. Number one, Hegseth has said, Secretary of Defense Hegseth has said, that there will be a full-scale investigation surrounding the pullout from Afghanistan. And there should. There absolutely should. Nobody took accountability for that. Nobody. Everybody kept their job. Everybody rocked on. They talked about what a wonderful thing they did. It was the biggest airlift in American history.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Imagine that. One of the biggest failures in our military's history, and everybody kept their job.
Yeah, and I'll say this right now. It was not the boots on the ground that failed anybody.
Nope.
Nope. It was the suits in the Pentagon and the suits in the White House that failed everybody.
The suits in the Pentagon that asked those guys to clean up their bases for the Taliban. Those are the ones that need to be fired.
That's exactly right. Redstate.com, though, has a piece for one of those events that I'd almost really forgotten about until I was reminded. Red State, Dateline yesterday, not 2 days ago. An investigation of the drone attack on the U.S. military base in Jordan called Tower 22. Remember that? Happened in January of last year. January 24, three U.S. service members died when a drone attack launched by Syrian-backed rebels hit Tower 22, where we have a 350-man garrison bunked. And this is, by the way, allegedly in an area that was hot enough to have security, but yet otherwise apparently not expected. What they're finding, though, the investigation is looking for I'm assuming they're finishing up a big 15-6. Those of y'all in the military know a 15-6 investigation is a part of how we investigate things that could lead to, you know, UCMJ action. They're saying the defense of the installation was neglected. There were no drone defenses available on site at all. Drone activity, though, however, was known in the area, and they took no steps to counter it. Radar was not optimized for drones. There was indecision and negligence on site. And there were manning decisions about security, and there was an overall lack of seriousness. Okay, that's pretty full scale. That's like saying failure of leadership. That's accountability is what that is. I think we're looking at finally seeing accountability back in the military. Coming up, we're going to wrap up Meatloaf Monday. You guys stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Woo! Goes from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga, and I mean from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean down to that prettiest little village on the plains, loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, stretching across to what we now call again Fort Benning. And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. All right, I gotta remind you guys too, a lot going on here at Right Side Media, the parent company of Right Side Radio. So yeah, if you're listening right now and you're hearing the radio show, that's just one of our gigs, man. Right Side Radio is on daily, obviously 3 hours a day, multiple stations around the region. But that's just a part of what we do. We do. We have a ton of podcasting going on. We've got the written word that goes out. We just got a new op-ed published this morning. It'll be out in other newspapers and news outlets around the nation, around the region, very soon. Go to rightsidemedia.org. We got the latest edition of The Controversial Mom out today. We got the latest edition of Out of Right Field podcast with JP out today. Mine goes in the can tonight. After hours, I'll finish it up for The Right Philosophy. Listen, there's a ton of stuff going on.
Right Click with Birdman was out on Friday.
Right Click with Birdman came out on Friday. We should have another Liberty Minute with Jared Hudson coming out very soon. So all said and done, we got a lot of content. If you like what you hear on this radio show, picture having it on demand from a variety of sources. Here's my only ask. It's a small ask, but it's big to us. If you go to any one of these platforms, whether it be Rumble or Substack or YouTube or X or Facebook or whatever the case may be, and it has a like or a follow or a subscribe option, please do. Because you may not know this. It's, first of all, it causes nothing for you, but the platforms give us more capabilities the more we have people engage it like that. So for our benefit as a growing media company, and our goal is to continue growing. And by the way, we have some exciting things in the works right now. I can't wait to tell you guys about. But as we continue to grow, the only way for that to happen is for us to hit the next levels on the platforms where we host all the content. And then they allow us to continue doing more and better as we go. So yeah, hit like, subscribe, or follow. That'd be awesome. Back on this military thing too, I'll wrap this up and then I'll go back to text message. Text it in, call it in, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. I got two stories here that I thought were important. Which one do I want to go with first? I'll do this one first. Townhall.com has a piece that talks a lot about, because you heard me mention so far, like Fritzy from Huntsville talked about the garrison commander at Fort McCoy, Wisconsin. Is there a wokeness going on? Is there a DEI hire? I have seen her picture. She does not look like she's meeting our military standards at all. There's that. But then you also have the Greenland colonel, the Space Force colonel who was relieved after openly insulting the vice president. There's an article here from Town Hall. It's by Kurt Schlichter. And if you're familiar with Kurt Schlichter, he's a former military guy himself. And he points out, he says, to be political on duty is a violation of our oath. It's a violation of our ethos as officers. It's got to be brutally crushed, he says. Even Barack Obama, he says, understood that when he canned General Stanley McChrystal. And I remember thinking what a loss that was. Now, since then, I've learned that Stanley McChrystal's got a little bit of a liberal streak in him. But in my opinion, he was one of the generals I looked at and thought, I would love to follow that guy. McChrystal was fired, relieved of his duties, in the combat zone, by the way, called back from Afghanistan and relieved of his duties by President Obama because an article was published about things he said off the record, he thought were off the record, to a Rolling Stone reporter. And he got canned. And I understood that. And I hated it. But it happened. But Kurt Schlichter points out, we cannot have a functioning military that tolerates individuals putting their own personal prerogatives ahead of the mission. That's exactly what all this political posturing has done. It brings to mind the story, he said, of my continuing dispute with my command sergeant major when I commanded the CAV squadron. We rarely disagreed on anything. My CSM was that guy whose picture is still scowling back at you, judging you when you look up the definition of NCO. But every time we had chow in the field, we had a confrontation. One of us would note that the last of the soldiers had eaten. The argument began, sir, time for you to grab chow. After you, Sergeant Major. After you, Colonel. And we go back and forth. I get it. But what he's pointing out, though, is those are small fry disagreements. Where you don't disagree openly is when you start throwing around political commentary while you're on duty and expecting it to be okay. You know why? Because in our country, in our nation, by our Constitution, the military is subject to the command of the civilian authorities, and it should be. And now, I know what that means when I say that I did not like at all what was happening with Biden. I got to call it out. You know why? I'm retired. I have family members still on active duty. They did not. They did not. And they shouldn't. I wouldn't want them to. All I'm saying is this. The Pentagon is being urged to go on the offensive to get some of the wokeness out of our military. And part of that's going to be the things you've been seeing, like this colonel in Greenland at the Space Force, at the Patufik Space Force base, who is relieved of duty for daring to send out an email contradicting and actually calling out the Vice President of the United States. Never should have happened. She's gone. Last one I've got. You know why I got this one? Because I thought it was cool.
What's that?
This story right here. I pulled this off of the Aviationist. The Leidos Black Arrow successfully tested from an AC-130J Ghost Rider gunship. First of all, there's nothing in that headline that is not cool.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah. This is not a military.com headline.
No. What was that? The Ghost Rider gunship?
Yeah, the Black Arrow was successfully tested from an AC-130J Ghost Rider gunship. Are you familiar with the AC-130?
I think it's in Call of Duty, yes.
have you ever seen the movie Transformers?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's been a while, but yes.
At the beginning of the original Transformers, when the Special Ops team was fighting on the ground against that that one Transformer bot, and they called in a Spectre gunship, and the guy on the Air Force PJ, the black guy, he calls out, Spooky 3-3, bring the rain. Well, that was a yes. Spectre gunship.
Ah, okay.
I've watched Spectre in action, by the way, and it is unbelievable. Picture a C-130, four-prop aircraft. It's got a 105 howitzer and two Gatling guns sticking out the side of the plane. And when it flies over the target from 10,000 feet, it just pitches up to the side. And its targeting is like spot on to the point that it could chase a rabbit across the field with a 105. And this literally begins to just obliterate everything. It's like having cannons and Gatling guns raining from the stars. Okay. Like they needed some other armament. The AC-130J Black Arrow Small Cruise Missile. All right, anybody out there who's been on the ground and had Spectre flying overhead cover for you knows that there's nothing better than hearing the slight drone in the distance. And you know Spectre's on station.
I think I've heard that sound in many videos.
I've heard it in real life, and yeah. It's good. But now they're testing a small cruise missile. It's a low-cost 200-pound adaptable delivery platform that gets pushed out the back. So the C-130 is a cargo craft originally, and it's got a ramp on the back where you can load cargo. Now it's where they load armaments in the AC-130. And they literally lower the ramp, and they just push this thing out the back. And it's a ballistic missile that can have guided flight, and put rounds on target in a big, big way. So anyway, I bring this to you only because it's freaking cool.
You know what? That's very valid.
And next break, you and I are going to have to watch the scene from
Transformers
when he yeah. calls Inspector. Bring the rain! All right. Let me get a few of these text messages. Shag Nasty the Atheist. What you got there, Shag Nasty? Shag Nasty says, as the kids say, AC-130 goes, brrrt. Yes, it does. Shag Nasty, and so does the A-10 Thunderbolt. A-10 comes in, burp, just a giant burp. It's awesome.
The sound that sends chills down our enemy spines.
Oh, listen, you have no idea. By the way, I will say, now that I've said that, I do have one of my personal heirlooms on the shelf at my house. Next time you're there, look at it. Did I show it to you already? It's a brass 105 shell. Standing on the shelf under the lights in my study.
I don't think you showed me that, no.
And it was fired by an AC-130 Spectre gunship over the Tora Bora Mountains when they were hunting bin Laden in the early parts of the war in Afghanistan.
Wow.
So March 2002, Operation Anaconda. I am coming through a special ops base in Uzbekistan called K2, Karshikanabad. And while I'm there, that's where Spectres were stationed, and they were you know, on, and you could see all these Spectres lined up on the airstrip, all those cannons sticking out the sides of them, and I met a Spectre gunner, which is a cool job, and I said, dude, what's a guy got to do to score one of those expended shells? And he goes, he looks around, he goes, I'll go square you away. Next thing I know, he's bringing me one.
Wow.
And so I've got that thing sitting on a shelf right now. I was talking to Spectra Cruz down at Herbert Field when I was teaching a class down there, which is where they're really headquartered in real life. I am so chasing a rabbit right now. But I was talking to him, and I said, hey, man, Operation Anaconda. And he goes, that's our legacy. I said, yes, it is. I've got one of the shell casings. He goes, no, how did you have that? And I told him the story. So anyway, personal heirloom, sits on the shelf. Wouldn't take money for it.
Can I just say AC-130 and an operation called Operation Anaconda? All that is sick. All that is sick.
You can't get that in Call of Duty. It's real. Even Shag Nasty the Atheist knows that. All right, we're taking a break. We're coming right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys, stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Man, Mike from Grissom High School, class of 83, texting in. Mike, you're like triple teasing me right now. So this is a buddy from high school who's texting me in, and I happen to see in the background his 70 Hemi Cuda and his 69 Mach 1, which are my two favorite muscle cars in the world, while he's holding a brass 105 Air Force shell from a Spectre gunship. Dang, Mike. All right, Mike, I'm just saying, when are we getting together? We need to do it. I need to, at the very least, need to visit your garage. Hey, let me go to the phones right now. Scott from Madison. Hey, Scott, how you doing, buddy?
How you doing today, sir?
I'm good, man. What's going on?
Hey, you were talking about C-130.
Yeah.
Early on in Fallujah, we had dismounted because we were mech at the time. We were dismounted. We were going through parts of Fallujah doing some Avon calling calls, knocking door to door.
Yeah.
And we had gotten, unfortunately, we had gotten stuck in a sticky situation. And we had a Air Force combat controller with us. And we had spent a couple days there, you know, just fighting off the bad guys. And he had called in air support, A-10s, danger close, danger close. And that sound that comes with them is just a sound of freedom.
Yeah, it is.
And there was hope. There was hope. And once the rain stopped and everything cleared up outside, there was nothing alive but us.
Wow.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah. A-10, but close air support. That's a ground pounder's angel in the air right there, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, appreciate your service. Yes, Semper Fi. Wow. That's good stuff. And I appreciate the fact that we've got so many in this audience who know the value of service, whether it be because of your families or you personally, or because you serve in the defense industry in some way. And I'll be honest with you, I'm counting civilians in that as well. So thank you for all of you who engage the process of what it means to defend this nation and our interest abroad. The grades are in. I'll get those real quick before it's too late because he's getting them in early. I don't know how to, what do we make of this? Is there no way to score points in the last 6 minutes of the show?
I'm about to say. There's like a cutoff.
He says, John from Huntsville says, JP gets an A-plus for his fantastic performance, which means today's winner is obviously Phil with an A-double-plus for a spectacular performance. Congratulations. Hope you have some delicious meatloaf tonight. Thank you, John. We appreciate you, man, as always. Stay in the fight, brother. Monty from Huntsville earlier said, reference that drone attack last January, a local boy, Huntsville. Peyton Demos was the company commander of the unit that lost those three. He's torn up about it, as you can imagine. I did not know that. And, and I'm sorry to hear it. Monty, thanks for sharing that with me. Jeremy from Madison says, heck of a show, eating bacon-wrapped meatloaf. Bacon-wrapped meatloaf. That's like, you know, Europeans can't even figure that out, man. Bacon-wrapped meatloaf.
Man.
That's America.
I've tried smoked meatloaf, and maybe next on my list is to be bacon-wrapped meatloaf.
Bacon-wrapped meatloaf.
Man.
That's got goodness written all over it.
And that's a cardiologist's nightmare.
I don't care who you are. That's as good. It's all keto, though.
Yeah.
It's all keto.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
John from Lexington, South Carolina says, if anything, I'm not sure what we're saying here. I think his voice texting wouldn't work out. John from Lexington, South Carolina says, if anything, the something on the Fort McCoy commander's, I don't know what, he's saying. Oh, they should harp on the Fort McCoy commander's body mass index. Now I see what he's saying. Okay. I got you. Yep, BMI looks a little off. Just saying. I'm saying. You are correct, sir. Very good. Brent from Athens, way earlier, says, I went to Fort Benning back in 2013 for paratrooper graduation. It was an amazing experience to see the jump towers and the training ground for the Rangers. I also went to the Infantry Museum while I was there. It was paradise for a historian like myself. It's a must-see for every American. Brent, it certainly is. And by the way, you don't have to have a military ID to go to the Infantry Museum. It's right outside the main gate, just off Victory Drive. It's absolutely world-class. And I tell you another one, especially you folks that are military, and I'm planning on taking my grandson, is the Ranger graduations they put on at when the whole class graduates at Ranger School. They do it now at Victory Pond, and they do what's called the Rangers in Action demonstration. Y'all, I went as an O5 to watch somebody subordinate to me graduate from Ranger School. And I got there, and I was ready to just drop everything and enlist as a buck private if they would let me go do that stuff again. It was awesome. Rangers in Action show, Victory Pond. You look it up. By the way, this past weekend was the best Ranger competition down at Benning. And if you want to see some studs that'll make you feel like the world is going to be a safer place with them in the uniform, best Ranger competition. I'm just saying. Steve from Tennessee, talking about Lieutenant General Moore and renaming of Fort Benning, says, Lieutenant General Moore was dead when they changed the name from Benning to Moore. He would not have wanted that particular name change. He was a thoughtful and humble leader who did not call attention to himself. Steve from Tennessee. Steve, thanks, man. If you knew him personally, I'd love to know that. That's a great testimony to his spirit. David from Bucky's said, Phil, let Jeff from Indiana know that sometimes they have trailers there as well, but I'm not sure I'd recommend it during bad weather. So apparently they have guys like dropping their load and then pulling their deadhead rigs into Bucky's.
Parked on the side of the interstate right in front of Bucky's, by the way.
Just running up off the median. We didn't hear from Jeff from Indiana today. Hope
I think
doing
he's
well.
Off.
That's right. Well, guess what? We're off now. There's the music. Preacher got to quit preaching. You guys listen. It's going to be an amazing week. We got more on tap. As always, let me just remind you, there are more of us than there are of them. God is still very much on his throne. Y'all stay in the fight. We'll see you tomorrow.